All right. This morning, we're going to be looking at the second part of our message from last Sunday concerning the test of love given to us by John in 1 John chapter 2, 7 through 11. We'll be looking at verses 9 through 11 today. And we're looking at brotherly love, the love of God. Talks about the first commandment, which is the old commandment, which John said, you have heard, and that is the word of God. So the word of God doesn't get old, and it doesn't change. It's the same from the beginning to the end. But the new commandment that John was talking about was looking at a new emphasis and perspective to loving our enemies, or loving our brothers and sisters, or loving one another in Christ Jesus. So follow along with me as I read verse 7 again through 11 to give us the whole picture of what John is wanting us to know and learn and apply in our lives. So beginning with verse 7, John says, beloved, I am not writing a new commandment to you, but an old commandment which you have heard from the beginning. The old commandment is the word. There it is, the word which you have heard. And probably referring back to the Old Testament that's what they were taught. We're taught the Old and New Testament. See, we have both. We have the whole Word of God, all 66 books of the Bible. So what we haven't heard, we will hear, hopefully, in our lifetime concerning the Word of God and what it means to us. So now going to verse 8. On the other hand, I am writing a new commandment to you, which is true in Him and in you, because the darkness is passing away. Because Christ came into the world to erase that darkness. And when we win someone else, as I shared last Sunday, we help remove some of that darkness in this world as well with the light that shines through us from Christ. So, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining, and that is Christ Jesus. Okay, now, verse 9. Boy, this is good, isn't it? This is really good. I don't know about you, but I love reading the scriptures, and when it jumps out at me and teaches me something new and different that I really probably hadn't grasped before, I say, Lord, thank you for that, because I needed it. It kind of lightens up our day, doesn't it? Just like the scripture says, light is the way, is already shining. Okay, now in verse 9. The one who says he is the light and yet hates his brother is in the darkness until now. In verse 10, the one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. And now verse 11. But the one who hates his brother in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Now, when we look at what John is saying here, it's very important for us to understand that what happens if you really dislike another Christian, or your brother, or your sister, or anyone. What does that look like in your own life? Well, does this mean that you're not really a believer? These verses are not talking about disliking a disagreeable Christian or a brother and sister. That's not what it's talking about. There'll always be those people whom maybe you don't like especially, right? You love them, but you don't like them. Maybe you don't like their ways. Well, God hates sin, doesn't he? He loves us, but he hates sin. And so on a human side of us, there's things that we don't like. So John's words here, as I'm looking through this, I'm trying to interpret what John is saying. I believe that John is focusing on the attitude that causes us to ignore or despise others. So it's always the attitude, right? When you get up in the morning, it's your attitude for that day. When you get up in the morning, you got to decide, okay, I don't care what happens today. No matter what somebody says to me, my eyes are on Jesus, so my attitude is going to be positive, right? The best that I can on the human side. But on the spiritual side, see, God's going to help you with that, because you say, Lord, help me with my attitude today. And if you start out that way, He'll do it. Now, if you don't ask Him, He's not going to help you, right? He's not obligated. But He wants to help us in every way. So it's the attitude that causes us to ignore or despise others, to treat them in an arrogant or competitive or even as enemies. We think, well, they're enemies. Well, the only enemies that we have in this world is who? It's Satan. He's our enemy, and he looks at us as his enemy, and he's going to try to do anything he can to discourage us. So, but when we look at what John is saying, Christian love is not a feeling, but you know what it is? As I think about what John is saying here, he says it's a choice. Just like getting up in the morning, you choose what you're going to wear, you're going to choose what you're going to eat, you're going to choose your attitude. Right there it is again. Attitude. You choose. It's a choice. So we can choose to be concerned with people's well-being or treat them with respect, whether or not we feel affections towards them. Now, as we decide to act in a loving way, God will help us express that love. Because that's what John is saying. He will do that. Now, last Sunday, we talked about the command to love. So it's not a suggestion to us. You know, we make a lot of suggestions. You know, I don't give out advice when I talk to people. I give suggestions. Now, God gives commands that we need to follow. It's for our well-being. It's for other people's well-being that we follow the command of God. That's why Jesus said, love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's the first and the greatest commandment. And the second greatest commandment is to love one another, as I'm sharing there. Matter of fact, at the top of the scripture reading was 1 John 2:7 through 11. I put one in brackets there this morning and last Sunday. How many of you read Romans chapter 13, 8 through 10 last Sunday? Did you read it when you got home? Well, read it today. Read it. I put that there because it aligns. It's it reinforces what John chapter 2:7-11 talks about. So Romans chapter 13 verses 8 through 10. Read that sometime today or read it sometime this week, and you'll get the gist of what John is saying. Paul even gives his view on that as well. So last Sunday we talked about the command of love, 7 through 8. This morning we're going to be looking at the contrast with light. Okay, as John is talking about. And matter of fact, verse 10 says, abiding in the light. Abide in the light. In John chapter 15, when we read about, you know, our Heavenly Father being the vine, the dresser, the gardener that attends our lives, the vine which is attached to the tree, but attached to the Heavenly Father, as John chapter 15 talks about, is Jesus Christ. He's the vine, we're the branches, and we are to abide in him. And then if we abide in him, see, we see the true light that's going to shine in our lives as well. So another, or I call it the sixth and final test for the authenticity of a Christian, is presented in context of hate in verse 9. In verse 9 says, I'll read that again. I started out with that verse. The one who says he is in the light and yet hates his brother is in darkness until when? Now, this very moment. So, the contrast between light that John is talking about and the darkness is developed to show another false claim. See, you can't hate another believer and be a true believer yourself. I don't think you can do that. See, the thought is that if you hate a Christian, you will walk in darkness. If you walk into the light, into fellowship with God, you will be in fellowship with others, and see, you'll be in fellowship with God. See, first thing in the morning, again, going back to when you get up in the morning, align yourself vertically with God, with him. And when you go out of your house or your abode or your home, see, you're going to be on the horizon. you're going to be on the same plane with everyone else. So if you're vertically aligned with God spiritually in your life, then you will be aligned with everyone else horizontally in which you come in contact with. And that's what John is talking about here in these verses. See, love and light go together just like hate and darkness go together. So light and darkness are used in comparison of love for the brethren versus hate of your brother. So to remember and appreciate the contrast of light and darkness, all you need to do is to travel down into the lower depths of a coal mine. What's down there? Precise coal. Darkness. Just like going into a cave. How many of you have been in a cave? Yeah. Have you been in a coal mine? No coal miners here, huh? Well, there's a lot of coal miners in Virginia and Tennessee and some of those states. And believe me, I've talked to some of those guys, and they say it's dark. There's no sunshine piped in down there. And that's the comparison that John is using here. See, away from the main entries at the working face where the coal is crawled from its lodging place, men work in total darkness. The only light that illuminates this space is carried by the miners, fixed at the top of their head, on their helmets, and that they must wear, on their hats. So the small lamp called, and by the way, I have one of those lights that I put on when I go outside. I need to use my hands for anything. I've got this light there. And you know what that light is called that you place up here on your head? Called a bug light. Bug. So you go around looking for bugs, huh? No, that's not. But that's what it is. That's what it's called, a bug light. And so this is the power by the battery carried by on their belts. So without it, it is impossible to move around without stumbling and falling. And that's the emphasis that John is using here. So without the light, no impossible. It's impossible. Without the light, no work is accomplished. You can't work without light. Even Jesus says in John chapter 4, you know, work while the day is light, because darkness comes, no man will work. And he's talking about working on people who don't know him. Because the day is coming, the darkness is, but Jesus takes away the light of the world. So there is no such thing as night vision where the eyes get used to the dark. Blackness is a solid and impassable without light. You know, thinking about that, I don't think John had ever seen a coal miner, but he had seen the darkness of man's heart filled with hatred and bitterness towards one another. And see, his description of this is similar to a coal miner without a light working in a coal mine. And nothing can be accomplished but injury if you don't have a lighter. The same thing for a coal miner. He would be injured. So the only remedy is light for the darkness heart. For a darkened heart, the only remedy is God's love. And you know what? We are to carry that everywhere we go. We are to carry that. Now, it's easy to talk about a Christian love, but much more difficult to participate or to practice this in our lives. See, as a matter of fact, you don't truly love God unless you love the brethren also, according to John. So you cannot deeply love someone with whom you don't spend time with. But that is a long ways from hate, isn't it? And in verse 10, it's on the screen there, reveals a marvelous result of a real Christian who lives in the light of Christ. Now, follow along with me with this verse again. Verse 10. The one who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. So, by contrast here, John is saying, whoever loves his brother lives in the light of the new age, which has dawned in Christ, going back to verse 8 that we looked at last week. There's nothing in him, one who loves his brother, that would make him stumble. So we don't want to be a stumbling block. We want to be a stepping stone for Christ. See, hatred through a kind of internal stumbling block, which can lead to devastating in our own Christian's spiritual life. And see, we are to be growing in the likeness and of Christ, according to 2 Peter 3:18. The Bible says that we are to do what? Love one another. Now, one contrast or result, or I would say a tragic result, is that a believer walking in hatred and darkness is a cause for stumbling for other Christians or other believers. Now, it's bad enough when an unloving believer hurts himself, but when he starts to hurt others, the situation is more serious. Evidently, John was dealing with this in his day. A lot of dissension, a lot of confusion, a lot of frustrations. And John was trying to correct this. And that's why he came back to the Scriptures, the Old Testament, the law of God, the law of love, saying, you know, this is an old commandment, but the new emphasis is the commandment to love one another. Now, it's bad enough when an unloving believer hurts himself, but we don't want to go on doing that. So it is serious to walk in darkness, according to John. So it's dangerous to walk in darkness when stumbling blocks are in the way. It's kind of like the man who was walking in darkness. And this is a good illustration of this. A man walking in darkness with a flashlight. Now, you picture this. And another man, he sees that from afar off, and he sees the light kind of staggering around, moving around, and so forth, and he's trying to figure out, what is that, and why is that light moving back and forth, moving around unsteadily, until he sees another man carrying that light. And then when he gets closer, he sees a man with a cane and walking as if he was blind. And when he approaches the man, he says, "Oh, I didn't realize you was a blind man." He said, "Yes." He said, "Why do you need a flashlight to see your way in the dark when you're already seeing dark?" He said, "Oh, man, young man," he said, "this light is not for me. It's for you and others that might come along my path, because I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. I want them to see my light so they won't stumble over me." Isn't that a good comparison? When I think about what John is talking about here, so as Christians who are walking in the light and we approach someone who are not yet seen the light of Christ Jesus, should our light not be shining? And we shouldn't be staggering around, wandering around, off track or off path, but our path should be straight so that when someone sees us, they know that we've been with Jesus. That's the way it is. So the best way to help others not to stumble is to love them, according to John here, and it's the right thing to do. Love makes us stepping stones, just like this man who was letting his light be shined even though he was blind. See, hatred or any of its cousins such as envy and malice makes us stumbling blocks. Now, looking at this scripture and evaluating what John is saying, to me, it's important that Christians exercise love in the church, or else there will always be problems in the disunity. I am so thankful for Versailles Baptist Church. Don't you? The loving, caring people that you are. And you know, we can be that prime example to other people that we meet. That are, let our light shine. The scripture for this week is Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let our light shine. We're not to be, you know, set it in a corner somewhere, but set it up so that everybody can see it. And that's what that verse is saying to us, to let our light shine. So we are to let our light shine. A person cannot stay in the light while nourishing negative, critical, or cynical attitudes towards other believers. So the two conditions are incompatible, light and darkness. Now, looking at verse 11. Our final verse here. To me, this verse here, as I look at it and I've studied it and prayed over it and so forth, it reveals the condition of those who hate a true Christian. This verse, John especially is pointing it out. And see, we can make a difference in this world as Christians. And let me read that verse to you again, and follow along with me. But the one who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. And this is a second tragic result of hatred, according to John. That is to obstruct a believer's spiritual growth. It will. It'll do it. Now, the person, stay with me here, the person in this verse, verse 11, is blinded because he is walking in darkness, not that that darkness is in him or that he is a lost person. The way I see this, the sin animosity has dominated him and he cannot find his way. He's not walking in darkness because he's lost, But just because of animosity to the sin that dominates his life is causing him to walk that way. So he has no spiritual judgment to perceive that he has lost his way or making no headway in the Christian life. And that can be dangerous because we're off track with the Lord. We're not following Jesus' command or God's command, the Word of God, the old commandment to follow and live the Christian life. So the only atmosphere is conducive to spiritual growth is an atmosphere of spiritual light of love. So just as, well, I call it fruit of the Spirit, so that God, people need to love and to need love if they are going to grow in love. And in conclusion here this morning, a Christian who walks in love always experiences some new joy, and that's called the fruit of the Spirit. And the two ones that are mentioned here, first of all, is what? Love and joy. And there's others around that plane, that spear. There's nine, fruit of the Spirit. What John is talking about here, and as he has talked in earlier previous chapters of John, in the Gospel of John, is the joy that we can have in Christ Jesus, knowing that he's our Savior and Lord. But he's talking about love here, loving Christ and loving one another. And see, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy. So, when we bind love and joy, we will have peace. And words, as they come together, walking in light, walking in love, is a secret of Christian growth, which nearly always begins with what? Love. That is what John is saying here in these few verses here. I mean, there's enough here that we could just go on and on and on, because there's so much that we can learn about God's love. You know, we need more love in this world, don't we? We need more love in our nation. And Satan is the one behind planting bad seed. But, you know, why don't we plant seed? Why don't we plant a garden? We want to see it grow, don't we? We want to get the fruits of the labor, the harvest. And we enjoy it because it's good. See, when God created man, he created all the universe. He created everything. He didn't say, oh, I made a mistake right here. Yeah, that's bad. No, he called it all good, didn't he? Everything good. So we are to come along and make it good as well with our lives. And we make it good by sharing love, loving one another, even though we don't like someone, right? Even though we don't like their ways. We do it anyway. Why do we do it? Because the Lord commands us to do that. He does it in a loving way, a spiritual way, because he loved us. I mean, that's plain and simple, isn't it? Isn't that plain and simple? God loved us. Why should we not love one another? And especially those that we don't even know or we consider enemies within the world. We don't have to agree with them. We won't agree with them. But don't like their ways and so forth and things that they cause, the harms and things and the terrors within this world. But if we love them according to the way Christ loved them, we might see a difference in their lives some way. And that's where prayer kicks in. That's where prayer takes over. That's how prayer takes over in your lives when you have conditions, whether it be emotions or physical things in our life. That's when that takes over in our life. And God's in control of everything, so why not leave it in his hands? But we got to do our part in doing what he has commanded us to do. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you today for the message from you, from your word. We preachers or pastors, we're deliverers of your message. And you make it happen through the power of your Holy Spirit. You make it work. And when we follow along and do what we are commanded, Lord, you don't force us. We have to make a choice. And that the choice that we make in following you is the best choice, the only choice that will bring the peace and joy and love in our hearts that we are to demonstrate and we are to live and practice in our life. Lord, I thank you for each one here today. I thank you for this loving congregation. I thank you for what we do together in a brotherly and sister way. There's always improvements in every one of our lives. And we can do even more for you when we come together. We can, others can see that as well. So this morning, we all come into these doors with spiritual needs and things, Lord, that really needs to be worked out in our lives. The fruit of the Spirit is a best place to start. Love and joy, and then faithfulness and kindness, and all the way down to self-control. Lord, I pray this morning that we search our hearts, examine our hearts, knowing that you want the best in our lives, and you will provide the best if we'll yield and surrender our life to you. As we sing this invitation, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you personally, that needs to know you as Savior and Lord, they will walk down this aisle, accept your Son, Jesus Christ, as Lord and Savior this morning, and be a part of the family of God. Lord, that would be wonderful. And any other decisions, whether someone looking for a church home, want to become a part of this family, this wonderful church body, Lord, we are open to your leading this morning. Let your will be done in each one of our lives as we sing our hymn of invitation. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we stand, this morning, as we sing our final song, our invitation song.